is to ask the master to introduce Simon Whitehouse. So over to you, master.
Thank you very much indeed, Christopher. Well, welcome to everybody, fellow liverymen, husbands, wives, other members of the family, guests from other liveries, David and Mary Tucker, who are the proprietors of London Walks, and of course, Simon Whitehouse, our co-host, and Christopher Day, fellow liveryman to all of us and amazing organizer of these events. Thank you, everybody, and welcome to all. On previous occasions, we've toured London livery halls and some above board watering holes. Tonight, Simon and Christopher might take us to a slightly less reputable establishment and other interesting venues. You may recognize some of them. Indeed, you may have visited some of them. So let's sit back with a tipple in our hand and enjoy the entertainment. Over to you, Simon and Christopher.
Thank you very much indeed, Richard. Sorry, Christopher, do you want to...
I just want everybody now to turn their screens off to save your broad bandwidth, if we can. Simon, perhaps.
Yes, that's lovely. Yes, if you could do that, folks, turn your videos off.
Over to you, Simon.
Thank you very much. Yeah. And I'm just going to ask Christopher to keep on his screen on, perhaps Duncan as well, just so we can have visual communication, lest there be any technical hitches along the way, but I don't think there will be. So once again, a very warm welcome. Yes, I'm Simon Whitehouse. If you haven't joined a virtual tour before, well, there are no limits to where we can travel on a virtual tour. If I do a pub walk in real life in the City of London or in the West End, one might visit perhaps three pubs in a two-hour walk, but we're aiming to get through about a dozen or so this evening in hopefully an hour with a break in the middle. And do make sure you've got a pen and paper handy, or perhaps just have something mentally prepared, because I'm going to ask questions along the way. So we've got a sort of pub quiz element to the tour as well. All right. So without further ado, I'm going to start sharing my screen with you, and I'm going to ask... Christopher, in a moment, if you just give me the thumbs up, that will just enable me to ensure that you can see my screen. So let me just do that. So with a bit of luck, Christopher, just give me the thumbs up. You should be able to see a set of glass doors. Fantastic. Now, we start our tour this evening by the virtue of virtual technology, at the top of the building that most of us know as the Walkie Talkie, but which is properly known as 120 Fenchurch Street. And Christopher, in fact, is also there this evening, as you see from his background. I think I'm right in saying that Christopher visited for a birthday celebration. And that's the great thing about the walkie-talkie building, is that it's a great place for special occasions. So a little bit about the walkie-talkie building. It's actually 38 stories high, so we've managed to avoid the elevators and avoid the stairs. And actually, originally, it was supposed to be at about 220 metres high, but it got capped, in fact, to 160 metres high because of the concern of the view of St. Paul's Cathedral, of course, which is one of the vital considerations on any new building in the city. And while it was being built, it was known as the building with more up top, because it has a very distinctive top-heavy appearance, because it actually gets wider as it gets taller, which, of course, is to increase the office space. Now, without me wittering on too much about that, I just want you to just now hopefully travel with me as we now take in the wonderful view from the Sky Garden. So hopefully there you should be able to see a fantastic view out over towards the Shard. You can all see that? See that, Christopher? Thumbs up. When I move the video along, it does sometimes jump a little bit, so it takes perhaps a moment on your screens to catch up. But there it is. So I'm going to just take us on a little whiz around, so you can take a look around. So there are three restaurants actually right at the top of the building, including this the Darwin Brasserie. So I'm just going to take us right up to the next level here, so you can have a look at it. And just notice all these wonderful potted plants. There we are. So that's a bit better. Now, they're all Mediterranean plants, most of them, all apparently drought resistant. And they come from mostly the Mediterranean, and a lot of them particularly from the south of France. So it was one of those buildings that actually was due to be completed earlier than planned in 2011, but we're right at the heart of the financial crash, or at least we're, you know, 3 years into it, and so the money was sort of stalled, and then the developers at Canary Wharf came in, they put in money came in from China and Qatar, and that saved it from the credit crunch doldrums. But it did actually alter the original concept of the building. So the Sky Garden that we see here was in fact supposed to be even bigger the one that we see today. So it was slightly reduced in size. Anyway, I'm going to whiz us along. Oh, hang on, there we are. And it's been a bit of a victim of its own success, actually, because although it is the highest public garden in London and it's free to go up, you do have to book in advance. So you do have to do a little bit of planning. Now I'm going to take you over to the view here. Look at that. We're looking at a view right over there, of course, heading west up the River Thames with a lovely view unimpeded of St. Paul's Cathedral. And I'm going to take you now out onto the terrace of the building. And of course, very controversially, this is an open air terrace, by the way, for when you do visit. Very controversially, the building had a bit of a problem when it was first unveiled because it's all covered in glass panels. And they discovered that the south side of the building, which we're on now, in fact, the sun would hit the building and the rays would reflect down. And a Jaguar car was actually scorched as a result of this slight oversight. And it became known memorably, of course, as the Walkie Scorchy building, which is not what the architect, who was from Uruguay, Rafael Vanoli, really intended. But I have to tell you that he got the blame for this oversight. In fact, he told the developers that there would be a problem with the south-facing side of the building. He'd encouraged them to put louvered blinds on the south side. Because of money, they decided not to. And when the problem occurred, they then had to spend about another 10 million putting on those additional louvered blinds. So don't blame the architect for this, blame the developers. So that's the motto of the story. So now we're going to just whiz along a little bit further. You can now see, of course, some lovely views. There we are. We're heading down the river now. And if I take us right to the edge there, we can see a wonderful view downstream all the way down to Canary Wharf and heading east. And in fact, that's what we're going to do next. So I'm going to stop sharing this part of my screen, and I'm now going to go and share my original presentation screen, and there we have it. You should be able to see that now, Christopher, thumbs up. Great, so there we are, there's the title page, Tippling Through London's Liquid History, a virtual tour, and just three of the images just to arouse your curiosity that we're going to be covering along the way. Now, where we're going first, in fact, is we're going to go down the River Thames, and we find ourselves, by the magic of technology, looking down onto the river, and we're visiting the south side of the river, and we're visiting this little spot here where you can see the little red pin on the bottom right-hand corner, and this is the oldest pub, allegedly, on the River Thames in London. And it's a hidden gem right in the heart of Rotherhithe. Now, Rotherhithe has a very long seafaring history, particularly connected with shipbuilding, and particularly a very popular spot with wealthy Londoners, particularly in the 1600s, where they would build their country retreats. Hard to imagine today, isn't it, Rotherhithe being a country retreat, and very popular with wealthy mariners. Now, mariners were very fond of wine. In the early 1600s, we really have the peak of the wine trade in London. And close by to the site of this pub was a ship which was about 180 tons. It was a common garden ship which imported alcohol and exported wool. The owner of the ship, or the captain of the ship, was a man called Christopher Jones, and he would bring in about 80 tons of French wine on a typical voyage. Now, that's all the preamble, really. But on the 20th of July, 1620, so 400 years ago this year, Captain Jones and his crew, who were mostly local men from Rotherhithe, loaded up around 65 passengers to a spot very close to where the pub is today, and they sailed to Southampton to embark on a transatlantic journey which would change the course of history. And I know you all know now what the name of that ship was, and we're going to go down to visit the pub. There it is. It's called the Mayflower.